This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Let's speak about this matter here in the province now. On the said note, we reported last night, confirmed based on the, at least last night, the statement that was released by Cockstar. And later, of course, there was the statement from the Office of the Premier that was talking about the sad news of the passing of OC Dr. Philia Tinyiko Lwandla Munengwamitwa II, the first female traditional leader of the Batsonga people, the first woman in South Africa's history to be appointed as OC. Let's speak to the Premier of the province, Dr. Popira Matuba, and fittingly, the first woman Premier in Limpopo, and celebrate and remember the life of OC Nwamitwa. So we're speaking with Dr. Popira Matuba. Madam Premier, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Gamia, and good evening to all your listeners.
Good evening, thank you. We appreciate your time. And of course, tonight we're speaking on the sad news of the passing of OC Nwamitwa.
Yeah, indeed, it's quite a very sad day for the people of this province, but equally the people of this country. Because if you remember her, she not only served the people of our province, but she also served the nation. She has served as a member of a parliament. But what is most importantly is what you have just indicated, to say for us as women, she is a symbol of resilience, a symbol of hope, who has been able to show us that against all odds, she fight the patriarchal system. And it's not an easy task to fight a patriarchy, especially when it deals with the culture and our cultural beliefs. Because being the daughter of Chief Fofoza Nwamitwa, she was denied the opportunity to can lead the nation. Mm. Even though, if you remember, firstly, they appointed her uncle in 2001, who then passed on in 2002, mm, after just ruling for a short space of time. The royal house, the Baloyi Royal Council, at that time felt they would appoint and she must lead them, mm, which was a progressive decision. However, they receive a challenge, and you will then remember that prolonged legal contest, which ultimately came up with that historic ruling, mm, by the Constitutional Court, which then in 2008 June saw her being officially inaugurated as the senior traditional leader, the first female for that matter. Looking backward, mm, since that time, we have seen I've now lost count of female senior traditional leaders who are currently leading. And a girl child is not denied the opportunity to can rule. Not so long ago, I'm from Hamutere, mm, wherein I was able to install another young woman. Mm. And what is encouraging her is that she was not selfish. Mm. She has been very supportive. Since I was appointed the Premier, we have seen her, mm, supporting the work that we do as government, mm, when it is even involving a senior traditional leader, or even the kingship. Mm. Remember the Skukune case, where she even called me at that time to say, you are on the right path. Mm. And not only did she do that, she joined me when I visited the royal house within Chate, there by Skukune, mm, when she was with me when we handed over the certificate of acting Queen Tular Emanyap. Not only that, the current the Queen Mujad Masalanab, mm, she has been very much supportive. So that is why I'm saying the loss will not only be felt by the Baloyi Royal Council or the Nwamitwa or the Batsonga people. It's not only the Limpopo or the Mupani district, mm, but the entire country, because where it involves issues of patriarchy, because she understood these battles, she was always there.
Mm. Mm. And you have, of course, even as you respond, given a brief history and background of ascendance to the throne. We're taking an end break and we continue on this conversation.
The Capricorn Talk on Limpopo's hottest frequency.
Indeed, this is Capricorn Talk, and so we continue our conversation with the first female premier of Limpopo province. We're celebrating the first female hosi in South Africa, the life of Dr. Nwamitwa, Philia Nwamitwa, who has passed on. Madam Premier, and even as you were mentioning her background, her ascendance to the throne, it is a show of strength, isn't it, that she fought through the times, went to the courts, challenged the system and won, and had an opportunity to lead. And we are hearing from those that she led well.
Yes, yes. Indeed, she did lead well. One thing that she always emphasized was that the love of the people you lead, it's non-negotiable. And she would always emphasize that if you love your people, you will never go wrong. And that is why just this over 18 months that we've been sworn in as the seventh administration. I don't know how many times we've been into the Baloyi royal house. I remember the times on the issues of the outstanding projects in terms of the roads, when at times I had to go with the MEC himself and start work because she was very worried. One of the issues that she was very passionate about is the Nwamitwa Dam, in terms of supplying the people of Nwamitwa with water. There was a day wherein I had to spend the whole day with her at the age of 84. We had to work in all those projects, checking why the people are not getting water, together diagnosing the problems together with the executive mayor. And we've seen a bit of improvement, but there is still a lot of work that we need to continue to do, because she would never rest until the people got water. She'll tell you for how many years that I've been asking about water, not for herself, because even though she can say, I can make means of getting probably a borehole to get water, of getting solar for electricity. But if my people that I'm leading can't have those means, then I'll never rest.
Yeah.
So the people of Nwamitwa knew they have a leader. But like I've said, it was not only about those that she was directly leading. It was the entire nation that she gets worried about. It was not only about the Vatsonga people who, if women are not given an opportunity to lead, she will challenge. Whether it was the Bavenda kingship, you will find her to say, look, we need to work towards solutions. Whether it's the Banovedu, whether it's the Bapedi, she was always in the forefront to support women who are in positions of leadership, walking the talk. And for that, for me, I felt I had a mother who, even if she listened to me being interviewed by you, and for that day the interview will not go on, she would feel that I'm in pain. She was one of those first people who pick up the phone and tell you to be strong, to say no one has ever said it's going to be easy. Whether you are being insulted for whatever reason, she will call and say, as long as you know you are doing the right thing, you know the truth, you must understand as a leader, you will continuously to be criticized. So there are many areas where sometimes I would feel like, why was I brought into this? Was I brought to be a character assassinated? But Mama will be there to say, hang in there. That's what leadership is all about.
I was going to ask you about a legacy, qualities. You've already mentioned a few, even as you were speaking now. You indicated she wasn't selfish. And as I hear you speak now, that perhaps she had she was a support system that you could lean on in terms of issues around leadership. But maybe there's more you wanted to add around that. Her legacy, what we can learn from her and her qualities.
There is. She was very strong in the preserving of the culture. Mm. The Batsonga culture, she was very passionate. You will know that we always, around September, we will all be visiting the Baloyi Royal House to celebrate the Ngwamitwa Day, where in culture it's being demonstrated and the future generations will continue to preserve the language and also our cultural if you remember, we would always, we would understand how in the olden days the Batsonga people used to live. You will then begin to appreciate and understand how the chief is different, his wife, because that culture has been preserved by her. So that is one thing that we should continue as government, so that even generation to come, we don't find ourselves having the Tonga language fading away, because she was very strong. The cultural, if you look at, I still owe her a day where even she would officially dress me with a chibelan. I can tell you that. I officially owe her that a particular day, unfortunately, because that's what she strongly believe in, and many leaders she would take them to dress them in a proper way on how to dress Shibelani in a very proper way, so that you then continue to preserve this culture, these addresses, the language itself, the food, the cultural food. She was always an advocate of understanding and making sure that even our young and our children to grow up understanding, but equally in terms of governance and leadership. The mere fact that the president had appointed her, she's among the few leaders coming from our province, your bishop, the Right Reverend Dr. B. Lekganyane of the ZCC Church, and also the Bishop Lekganyane for the St. Enganas ZCC Church, and quite those are the few that you can remember that the president appointed to be part of the eminent group. She was one of those. So what a great honor to say she must sit in that particular committee that will then advise government even on ethical leadership. That tells you that her leadership was par excellence, that we even at that particular level, she carried the Limpopo flag in full mast. She represented us as a province, especially we, the women, who are in leadership. You can't be reading about scandals on headlines about her. When you read about her, it's when she would be honored by the University of South Africa, the oldest university, if it's not in the continent, to be honored for that doctorate. You will see that for one to be able to be honored at that level, that tells you about their character. So as I'm saying, for us, it's those things that people might not really see how important they are. Mitiro ya balabula, and indeed, for Mama, mitiro ya bona ibalaburini. She lived us at the age of 85, but the fact of the matter is, she can never be forgotten. She will be in our history books, and we'll continue to celebrate her life while we are mourning her passing.
What are you saying, your message to the province?
I'm saying to the province, we need to for now, what is left is to give Mama the defeating send-off. And as a government, we've already convened an interministerial committee that will look into all the circumstances involved, and then the committee will be able to advise the Premier so that we see how to take the matter forward. Looking at her contribution we would want her to be given that particular befitting send-off. But like I'm saying, there are processes that need to be followed. So it starts with us having to really meet, but also to meet with the family. We will be guided by the family. We're still waiting for them to come and even officially communicated with us, and also to be able to communicate with us how they would wish Mama a send off. So we will be updating the public as soon as that is being done. Because remember, bereavement and funerals, you are always guided by the family, and the government, you follow what the family would have been wishing. It would have been their wish on how we send Mama off. But what is important is that we as a nation, we must be able to pause and ask ourselves, what is it that Mama has left us with? The character that I've indicated, the legacy, the leadership style, the love that she had for her people, the love that she had for culture, the resilience, a symbol of hope, a fighting spirit. It's something that even the challenges that we are having today of unemployment, of poverty, of our economy that is not growing, if we use the resilience that Mama had, we can be able to defeat that. She was able to win against patriarchy. So what is difficult for us if we are to carry the spirit? One of the issues that made her to frown, one of the issues that I can tell you she left this earth not happy about, is the issue of gender-based violence and femicide. It was very close to her heart. I remember when she also invited me to come there to address, when she has organized a dialogue and about gender-based violence with also men there by her village. Then I went there with MEC and Violet Mart. So you can hear the passion that she had to say, why can't a girl child feel free and feel safe? Why should women be murdered and dying in the hands of their loved ones? So this is one thing that it's when we say we must carry the baton of where she ended. It's when we will be fighting gender-based violence and femicide. And I think until we defeat gender-based violence and femicide, we will not have honored Mama. So in honoring her, the people of Limpopo, let's protect our women, let's protect our men, let's protect our children, both the boy child and the girl child. There is no need for somebody to feel they are being oppressed, whether it's a man or a woman. In relationships about loving each other, not about abusing each other. So let's work hard towards being able to give it that. And finally, maybe one should just say, as we will be greeting her this farewell, as we'll be sending a Mama to her final resting place, let me once more convey on behalf of our provincial government, on behalf of all the people of Limpopo, a heartfelt condolences to the Baloyi Royal House, to the Wamitwa community, to the Batonga Nation, to the people of Mopani District, the people of Limpopo, and especially to women who have lost their pillar, who have lost their symbol of hope, the symbol of resilience. Mama, may your soul rest in peace.
Thank you very much for your time, Madam Premier. Good evening to you.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.